As our corn continues to move through its vegetative stages, and we're just starting to see some tassels beginning to peek out, we're looking for pests in our cornfields. And this week, we're going to discuss the western bean cutworm. Hi there, this is Jeannie Falk Jones. I'm the K-State Multi-County Agronomist for Cheyenne, Sherman, and Wallace counties. I deliver unbiased, research-based information to you for you to apply it on your farm. Now, the life cycle of the western bean cutworm includes the adults emerging from the soil in late June and early July, and I've been seeing the moths flying around here for about a week. Then they mate and begin to lay eggs. The western bean cutworm moths lay eggs in clusters of 5 to 200 on the top surface of the upper third of a corn plant. Now, these eggs require 5 to 7 days to develop, during which that time the egg color changes from tan to a purple color immediately before they hatch. Now, after they hatch, those larvae feed on fresh pollen and vegetation and then will migrate their way to the ear of the corn plant. Now, when scouting for western bean cutworms in corn, check 20 plants in at least 5 areas of the field. Look for eggs on the top surface of the uppermost leaves, or you can look for larvae in the tassel. These western bean cutworm moths prefer to lay eggs in the corn plants that are in the late whorl stage compared to those that have completely tasseled. So keep this in mind when you're scouting your fields. Now, many folks think that if they have BT corn, then they're protected. However, there is just one type of BT protein that provides reliable protection against the western bean cutworm, and that is VIP3A. Now, products that express the VIP3A protein include Agrisure, Viptera, Leptra, and Tricepta, and these provide control and should not need to be treated for the western bean cutworm, but it's always important to keep an eye on those fields anyway. Now, the Cry1F protein present in products such as Herculex, Herculex Extra, AcreMax, and SmartStax has provided protection against the western bean cutworm in previous years. However, this protein has lost efficacy in the last 10 years due to the development of resistance. It's now recommended that fields with Cry1F products be scouted for western bean cutworm and insecticide treatments considered if they reach the economic threshold. So what is the economic threshold of western bean cutworms? Consider applying an insecticide if 5 to 8% of the corn plants have egg masses or larvae. If an insecticide treatment is warranted in corn, it should be made when 95% of the plants in a field have tasseled. This application timing increases the chance that the worms will be feeding on the new pollen and they will be exposed to the insecticide, resulting in better control. If the larvae have already moved into the ears of the corn plant, they will be protected from that insecticide by the husks and cannot be effectively controlled. In addition, chemigation has provided very good control of this insect, even at some of the lower rates. Now, there's many treatments labeled for control of western bean cutworm. They include carbamates, which includes 7, organophosphates, like chlorophos, and products like spinosad, intrepid, prevathon, steward, and many pyrethroids. Many generics with these active ingredients will also give good control. Now, I've posted a couple of articles from the University of Nebraska with pictures of the western bean cutworm moth, egg masses, and larvae. They're posted on my website at www.sunflower.ksu.edu/agronomy. If you have any questions, please give me a call at the K-State Extension offices in Goodland, Sharon Springs, and St. Francis, or you can get a hold of me on the K-State Experiment Station in Colby. I also have some information on western bean cutworm posted on our Facebook page at K-State Sunflower District Agronomy.